This is the story of the mission or sending of the 12 disciples from Luke's Gospel. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." They departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing disease everywhere. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
Emil Brunner, the great 20th century Swiss Reformed theologian, once said that the church exists by mission as a fire exists by burning. Think about that for a moment. If burning ceases, the fire goes out. If mission stops, the church is extinguished. Even though mission is absolutely central to who we are as the church, I think sometimes we're challenged to define it. If you remember nothing else from this morning's text or sermon, I hope that you will store these two terms in your memory. The first is God's regime change. The second is healing God's world. The gospel reading this morning, as Lucas said, is referred to as the mission or the sending out of the 12. You know, I wonder if the nascent Jesus movement within Judaism was starting to lose a little bit of its edge, maybe losing a little bit of its mojo, some of its fire, when the master sat down with the 12 disciples and said, "Right, lads, here's the plan. Go out in twos, bring nothing but the bare necessities with you, so no backpack, no credit card, no iPhone, no extra shirt, no means of self-defense. And if people don't welcome you and welcome the message I send with you, hightail it and let them eat your dust." Now, it would have been easy for the disciples just to sort of bask in the self-satisfied glow of their spiritual enlightenment. I don't think any of us can fully imagine what it was like to actually know the historical Jesus. I mean, he must have been an incredibly charismatic figure. So why wouldn't you want to just stay close by? Well, the master claimed that they couldn't hoard the good news of the kingdom, that they had to share it. They couldn't just say, "Hey, I've got mine," and say that they had attained enlightenment. No, they had to go out and share it with somebody else. They had to extend the healing ministry of Jesus to the people they encountered. So it's pretty basic what Jesus told them to do: proclaim the kingdom of God and heal. Well, we use that phrase, the kingdom of God, twice in the Lord's Prayer each Sunday, and there are a lot of different ways to explain it. But here are a few shorthand notes. One way to describe it is God's liberating reign, which is in contrast not just to the Roman Empire that Jesus was confronting, it also stands in opposition to the empires of our own day. I found that a good way to describe the kingdom of God in contemporary language so that it has an edge is to call it God's regime change. It would have had that kind of edge to the people who were listening to Jesus in the first century. It's what the world would be like if all of our current systems of governance and our current systems of economics were out and the way that Jesus proclaimed came in and took their place. Now, healing, of course, can mean bodily healing. It can mean psychological healing. But there are larger meanings as well. One phrase that's used extensively in contemporary Judaism is tikkun olam, which means healing God's world. And I'll discuss that a little more in a few minutes. that sense of restoring wholeness, restoring inclusion, is a really potent force in people's lives. But the key idea behind mission comes from the Latin root of the English word, missio, which means sending, like a missile, but like a love missile, not like a, yeah, you get the picture. Jesus sent out his disciples in teams of two, and they were sent to do those two things. Now, sending is one of the three elements of our mission statement here at Plymouth, and it's an essential part of who we are as disciples of Jesus. Now, you all have the rest of Plymouth's mission statement memorized, right? I'll give you a reminder. Our mission is to make God's realm or liberating reign visible in the lives of people individually and collectively, especially as it is set forth in the life, teachings, life, teachings, death, and living presence of Jesus Christ. And we do this by inviting, transforming, and sending. And there are dance steps that go along with this, too. It's inviting, transforming, and sending. So I will expect to see all of you doing that during coffee hour. Or we have some Hawaiian music coming up. You could actually do a little hula to it, too. That would be very nice. But mission means different things to different people. The way I define it is that mission looks an awful lot like ministry, but it happens beyond the four walls of the local church. So every year, our congregation gives $40,000 to something called Our Church's Wider Mission. It helps to keep our denomination functioning. Is that mission? Well, of course it is. Even though it may be used to advocate for LGBT rights in Washington, D.C., or to support a mission center in Biloxi, or to develop a curriculum in Cleveland, it's definitely mission. Our church's wider mission also supports global ministries, which is the only kind of mission that a lot of us think about when we hear that word. Our giving supports missionaries in places like Angola with the cooperation of the Evangelical Congregational Church of Angola and South Africa with the United Congregational Church of Southern Africa, or in the Philippines with the United Church of Christ in the Philippines, and in numerous places across the globe. I need hardly say that our ideas about what mission is and how we engage in it have evolved significantly over the last two centuries in the congregational tradition. One of the most influential voices in this shift was a man named Scott Libby, who headed our United Church Board for World Ministry, now Wider Church Ministries. Scott enunciated fully the idea of having mission partners. So any time the United Church of Christ introduces missionaries into a foreign country, they need to be invited in by a local church or a local organization. That's why I really stressed the idea of telling you about some of our partners, like the Evangelical Congregational Church in Angola or the United Congregational Church of Southern Africa. Scott's daughter, Joan Langer, is a member of our congregation, so his legacy continues not just on the frontiers of mission around the world, but right here at Plymouth. So what is mission supposed to be today? Well, it still goes back to those two elements of proclaiming God's realm and healing God's world. Here's an example. A couple of weeks ago, a lot of you participated and gave generously to the One Great Hour of Sharing offering, which funds both disaster response and development around the world. So last October, when Typhoon Haiyan hit the Philippines, you were there through the United Church of Christ to provide emergency relief and emergency aid. And you were other places too. You were with a couple named Teresa and Anil Henry, an anesthesiologist and a surgeon who helped rebuild a mission hospital in Mungeli, India, under the auspices of the United Church in North India. And you were there with Phyllis Richards, working with the Evangelical and Reformed Church in Honduras on sustainable vocational educational programs. In a larger sense, all of our missionaries, whether they're involved in education or economic development, in medicine, in civil rights, or serving in local churches, are doing the work of tikkun olam, healing God's world, making it whole. Now, maybe you think, well, I can't participate because I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I'm too busy. But we have people working in all kinds of ways at Plymouth. We have older volunteers who are really the backbone of the Homelessness Prevention Initiative. And listen to what our Club 45 kids are doing here with working for people who are experiencing homelessness. You aren't too young. You aren't too old. We're all just right. So is anything that goes on beyond the four walls of Plymouth Mission? I think we need to be a bit self-aware and even a bit self-critical of the energy we put toward our efforts. It isn't enough to say that we should do something because, by golly, we're good citizens and responsible members of the community. It is important for us to examine why we are involved in certain efforts. We need to ask ourselves what our motivations are. Doing good things for the wrong reasons is a very good way to spin your wheels and dissipate your energy. And that means that sometimes we don't get the core work done. So two questions I like to ask are, do we do the mission work or the giving in Christ's name? And are we motivated by Christian conviction? Not because we have a really well-developed sense of civic responsibility, which is a fine attribute. Second, are we healing God's world? Not just putting a Band-Aid on a problem so that it salves our conscience. Are we making a sustainable systemic shift in people's lives and helping to address the causes of distress? Angolan girl schools are a great example. We're motivated by our Christian faith. The schools are working with an underserved and oppressed population, so doing justice, and they heal a society that's known civil war for 40 years. And they also address the root causes of poverty in Angola. There are times when all of us lose our why. Not lose our way, but lose our why. We get caught up in what we're doing and we focus intently on it, and then we forget why we're doing it in the first place. Over the past 5 weeks, Jake and Jane Ann and I have engaged you with a sermon series on discipleship, involving forming your faith, generosity, leadership, community, and mission. As disciples of Jesus, each one of us is on a journey of faith, a learning journey. Just as we say in our mission, you've been invited. Hopefully you're experiencing some transformation. And then you need to discern how you will be sent forth from this church to proclaim God's liberating reign in every aspect of your life, and to help heal God's world. So I included a little sheet in your bulletin this morning. It's the blue one. And you might think of this as sort of a game plan for discipleship. So this week I invite you, and I know it's spring break, but I am giving you homework. Sorry about that. I invite you to spend 15 minutes or so as we wind up the season of Lent and write down some ideas for how you yourself wish to grow as a disciple. I'd invite you to pray about it, to think about it, and consider how you are being called as a follower of Jesus. You know, maybe you're really highly developed in one area and less so in another. Maybe there's something new you want to try on for size. Pay attention. See where the Spirit is leading you, because God is still speaking. Amen.